This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. David Axelrod was responsible for a string of hit R&B and jazz albums in the 1960s. The composer and arranger won a Grammy and released a series of acclaimed solo albums. But then his career stalled. His personal life hit the skids, and he all but disappeared. He was rediscovered by hip-hop musicians who admired his work and helped revive his career. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
David Axelrod grew up working class in the 1930s and 40s in the South Central section of Los Angeles, a tough white kid who hung out listening to jazz in the mostly black clubs along Central Avenue.
I didn't want to be a musician. I wanted to be a writer. It's why I was such a goof in school. School meant nothing to me because I wanted to be greater than Jack London, and I didn't see what good school was going to do me. And then I was sidetracked. Music. And that was it.
Axelrod was 20 years old when he met jazz pianist Gerald Wiggins, who taught him how to read and write music. Axelrod turned out to be a prodigy. Early in his apprenticeship, he put on a jazz record he'd never heard, and from the very first note, he says, he knew exactly what was going to happen next.
I went, my God, it's over. You know, my life is over. And then Gerald Wiggins explained it to me, that I had become so knowledgeable about the chord progressions, there's only certain places they can go to. So once you hear the first chord, you know where they're going to go.
Pretty soon, Axelrod was producing and arranging for Cannonball Adderley, Lou Rawls, and others. He wrote and arranged for the Electric Prunes. One of the band's tracks ended up in the film Easy Rider. That led to his own record deal. Axelrod's first solo album was Songs of Innocence, inspired by the work of William Blake. But over the 1970s, Axelrod's career slowly imploded. Tastes changed, and so did the music industry. By the end of the decade, he'd lost his record contract and his steadiest collaborator. Adderley died. So did Axelrod's son. And in 1986, his wife was injured badly in an auto accident. 2 years later, the couple's apartment building was condemned. They lived in a shack for a year. Axelrod says he kind of freaked out.
Oh, my God, I don't know what I was doing, and I don't know what happened. I still don't. Usually, when those kind of things go down, you should just lay back, chill out, and see what happens. Instead, I started making all kinds of phone calls and writing letters, and I don't know why. I really don't know why. I should have known better. For God's sakes, I've lived my whole life in the street. There are other reasons, but those are excuses, and I don't like to give excuses.
By 1993, Axelrod was on his feet again. He released his first album in 12 years. Not long after that, he got a big royalty check. He thought it was a mistake. His music publishers assured him that the money was his. David Axelrod had been sampled.
I thought it was great, because it was a good-sized check.
While Axelrod's life had been unraveling, hip-hop producers had been rediscovering his work. Collectors were paying over $100 for vintage LPs. Samples from his compositions appeared on scores of records, including hits by A Tribe Called Quest, DJ Shadow, Dr. Dre, and Lauryn Hill.
I was just a little girl, skinny legs and press and curl. My mother always thought I'd be a star.
Last year, some lost Axelrod tracks turned up. An ex-manager had found a rough mix of rhythm tracks for a solo album Axelrod had abandoned in 1968. Irish hip-hop photojournalist Brian Cross was visiting Axelrod when the LP showed up. Cross says the tracks pretty much summed up everything hip-hop producers love in Axelrod's work. They were funky, tense, and rich in harmony. Cross says Axelrod thought otherwise.
I tried to convince him to make a cassette, and it's like, absolutely forget it, no way. This is stupid, it's 30 years old, my head is somewhere different now.
Cross says he and other fans in the hip-hop community had to convince Axelrod to use the tracks as the foundation of his new self-titled album.
I can't really imagine what it must be like to turn around 30 years later and look at something that you did and think about it in terms of now. But basically that's the same process that hip-hop producers have been using with his music from 30 years ago. It's just now he was confronted with the similar problem.
There were no master tapes or scores. All Axelrod had to work from was the flimsy lo-fi LP his ex-manager had sent. It took a few days' work with a computer to make it sound halfway decent. Then Axelrod started scoring for strings and horns. He drew on the work of Austrian composer Arnold Schoenberg for one piece and wrote in two different keys at once.
At times, it sounds like they're out of tune. You listen to Big Beat Plus, and the horns actually sound out of tune. I think it really adds to it, that dissonance. But it was the only way to make it contemporary. What was I supposed to do, write Songs of Innocence over again? That was the whole reason why I didn't want to do it. Because I knew it was going to be a lot of work to keep it from sounding like 1968, to make it sound like it does.
Axelrod wrote two new pieces as well. One is a reunion with Lou Rawls, the other features Los Angeles rapper Ras Kass.
Capable of good and evil, so who'll lead you, feed you to the beast, cause politicians don't need you. Being a child is illegal, no bids at Samuel petting his bald eagle. Then two voices spoke, we do, we bid at trouble and hunger, we bid for their life and limb. When they get to be too many, we'll take care of them. Like our own, we'll hide them in secret places where no one can hear their moan.
David Axelrod says he refuses to see his comeback as some kind of vindication.
Whatever happened to me is because of me. Good or bad. So there's no vindication. It's just I make music. You go into music to make music. And if you happen to make money at it, that's an added bonus. The fact that I am right now isn't the point. It's that I'm able to make music. That's what's important.
Rick Carr, NPR News.